Okay, so first of all, I would like to thank the organizer for the opportunity to speak here. So I will talk about Schrödinger equations with a quasi-periodic potential. So more generally, the differential equation I'm studying is the following ODE. Where T runs over the whole real line. So this function Q of T is normally called the potential, and the real number E is called the energy. So there are different models which you can study, and one well-studied model is when Q of T is a periodic function. And say continuous or something like that. And then we have, so then this equation is normally called the Hilt equation. And then we have a good theory for describing the solution to this equation, and that is describing the flow case theory. And by that theory, we know that if we look, so E will run as a parameter. So by this theory, we know that we will have either finitely or infinitely many intervals of stability where the solution to this equation more or less oscillates. And the more generally, the solution more or less looks like this. E to the I alpha P of T, where P is a periodic function. And these regions of stability, they correspond to the spectrum of the Schrödinger operator defined like. And outside the spectrum, you have exponentially growing or decaying solutions. So there we know exactly what is happening. So the case we are interested in is if you take a periodic potential and you perturb it a little bit. And one way is to take not the periodic, but a quasi-periodic potential. So we study the case when Q of T, so when the potential looks in the following way. So it's V, theta 1 plus T, theta 2 plus T omega, where V now is a function defined on the two torus to R, and let us say that it continues. And here T2, or T, I always think it's equal to R modulo the integers. And then omega is an irrational number. And this theta 1 and theta 2 is just 2 points. It's just two numbers. So you take any theta 1, theta 2, and then you define the potential like this. And then you see what's happening here is this is T2. What is happening is that you take a point, theta 1, theta 2 at time 0, and then you just flow in the direction of the vector 1 omega. And then the function V is defined on this T2, and you evaluate V along the flow of this irrational flow. And since omega is irrational, this flow will actually be dense. So it will never come back to the point where it's been. So that means that it will look like kind of a periodic potential, but it is not periodic. Okay. So since I want to study this from a dynamical systems point of view, it's natural to write this equation, so let me call it full star, as a system. So I write star as a system. So I write it as a first order system. And then you get the following. You get u prime is equal to 0, 1, v of theta plus t 1 comma omega. So now I think theta is just theta 1, theta 2. So I write it in 2. 1, 0, u prime. Then I forgot the E, so you have minus the energy. So then, you should have a derivative. Thank you. So then we look at this system, and then we just write out the fundamental solution of this system, which I denote by, say, A of T E theta is the fundamental solution you get from this system. And since this matrix is in little SL2, this will be a matrix in big SL2R. for the determinant of this matrix is equal to 1 for all t. So then I define one of the key objects which we can study, and that is something called the Lyapunov exponent. And that is something that measures the exponential growth or decay of the solutions. So it's defined in the following way. So I denote it by gamma v, which is just the limit as t tends to infinity, 1 over t, the average of the logarithm of the norm of this matrix. So this limit exists just by some subadditivity, and it will always be non-negative, since this is an SL2 matrix. And if this is positive or not, it's really not a trivial question. But that tells you about if you have exponential growth or decay of the solutions. So this is one of the main objects. And then... So this will be exactly the same. Yeah, it will be the same. It will be for almost all theta. If you remove the average, this will go to this.
That's a theorem.
So that is either Kingman or it's oscillator theorem. But let us just define it like this. So I denote by h of theta the Schrödinger operator acting on the space L2 of R. So that is just...
For
a periodic case, if you take this thing, then it's not so interesting, because since you average, since the Lyapunov exponent is not independent of theta. So then you can get a number, but it doesn't say so much. Yeah.
Then it can depend on theta.
Yeah.
But on your first slide, it's just a periodic function. Then it's what?
So if it's a periodic function, this would probably be positive, but it doesn't say so much, because the spectrum starts to move, and it's... So the Lyapunov exponent in this case is better to think of this alpha.
When alpha is pure imaginary.
Yeah. 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 But it's better to use this definition in the Questbury case, because you will see one. Okay, so let us denote by h theta the Schrödinger operator you get if you take u of t like this. And this is easy to see, that this is a self-adjoint operator. And in fact, the spectrum lies, this is E, there is a lowest eigenvalue, or at least a lowest energy, which lies in the spectrum in this case. And let me denote by sigma of H the spectrum of this operator. And what one can prove, and it's not difficult to prove, is that the spectrum, in fact, is independent of this phase theta. And that has to do with that this is minimal, that this is a dense orbit. So the spectrum as a set does not depend on theta. So you get this operator, since it's self-adjoint, you have some spectrum, but it does not move if you move the theta. And this system, double star, it induces a flow on T to R, R2. So this gives you a flow. On T2 cross R2 in the following sense. Just the obvious sense that you take phi T E of theta is just theta plus T1 omega, comma A E T theta of X. So you take, X. It should be an X. So the geometrical picture is just the following. So you have T2, and then you have cross R2. So you take a point, theta, And then you have the flow, the rational flow. You start to take a vector x in R2, and then you just look how this vector change with time. You take a vector and you just see how it changes with time. So this gives you a flow on this space, T2 cross R2. And then there is a theorem by Ostellidis. Which says the following, that if the Lyapunov exponent is positive, then there exists a measurable splitting of the space R2. So you get two, if I'm in subspace, you get two subspaces like this, which is equal to R2, such that for almost every theta, so for almost all points you start on the base, you have that the limit as t tends to either plus or minus infinity of 1 over t log a t e theta x. So you look at this quantity just to measure how this vector goes. It will be plus gamma v if x lies in w plus of theta, and it will be exactly the same with minus gamma v if x lies in, well, it's not the zero vector. So the geometrical picture is that you have for almost all point theta there exist two subspaces, W plus and W minus of theta. And if you take a vector starting in this space, then it will grow exponentially fast forward in time, and it will decay exponentially fast backward in time. And if you take a vector in this space, maybe I should draw it in that direction, then it will decrease exponentially fast forward, and it will grow exponentially fast backward. So this holds for almost all theta, and this splitting, it does not vary continuously. It only varies measurably with this theta. And it does not exist for all theta, but for almost all theta. So this Lyapunov exponent says something about the solutions for almost all theta. Okay. So then, now I want to look at the projectivization of this flow. So instead of looking at that on T2 cross R2, we forget about the length of the vector. We're only interested in the direction of the vectors. So this flow, phi of T, it induces a projective flow on the space T2 cross T1 in the obvious sense that you take a vector in this space, for example, and you don't care about the length of it, but only about the direction. So this, you can think, is isomorphic to the street torus. So the geometrical picture could be like this, that we have T2, where we have this irrational flow. Then we look at cross T1. So you just take a point somewhere, and then you just flow it, and you look at the flow you get on this three-dimensional torus. And there is a theorem, or it's a fact, which was proved by Michel Herman, that if the Lyapunov exponent is positive and E is in the spectrum of the Schrödinger operator, then this flow, let me call this flow for little phi of t, then this phi of t has a unique minimal set, m index e. And what does it mean, a minimal set? It means a closed set, which is invariant under phi, and in which each orbit is dense. So you have some object. If you take a point in there, then the orbit under this cell, every orbit will be dense. So maybe it's easier to, if we look at the Poincaré section, so I take the section of maybe this one, and we just look at the return map. So then we get a dynamical system on T cross T1. So since the Lyapunov exponent is positive, we know that this oscillates by the oscillator theorem that we have these two stable and unstable directions. We have this splitting. So that will be like two measurable curves. These two curves are invariant. No, yeah, no, I just take, like, for example, you can, if this is T2, yeah, so you can kind of get the time 1 month. Yeah. No, so I take one corner, so you go from here over here. So the flow goes from theta to theta plus omega. Then. Since I have a one, so that's why I took it on this. Yeah. You can take it more or less how you want. But then you get these two curves, which are the directions, the projective direction of this oscillator theorem. And this, they are both invariant. So if you take a point on one, it will just, the dynamics will lie on each of these curves. But the funny thing is that this minimal set is the closure of these two curves, and the closure of these two curves are the same. So this kind of attracts all the dynamics, so all the points will go in and look and try to get close to this strange set. And this is something in physics literature normally called an SNA, so it's a strange non-chaotic attractor. So the dynamics on the attractor is very simple. It's just a translation by an irrational angle. But the geometry of this set can be really complicated. So there are some kind of curves which are twisted in together, so if you take the topological closure, you get the same set. Okay, so that is one of the objects which I've studied together with more classical spectral results. But so these strange non-chaotic attractors, they have been proved, like, or we've proved the existence numerically, and they've shown it even in physical experiments that these kind of strange attractors can appear. Okay, so now I want to state my theorem, and let me just rewrite the Schrödinger equation just a little bit. So I have the Schrödinger operator, which is defined just by this, minus u prime t plus. And now I rewrite just the potential a little bit. So I take a constant, which depends on v naught and omega. And I have a function v naught, theta plus t 1 omega, u of t is equal to v u of t. So now this constant time v naught is what was before this q. So this constant I've introduced just because when you take omega bigger and bigger, the spectrum has a tendency to start to shift. And that I don't want. So that's why I just take a factor in front, which depends on omega, so it does not shift when I vary omega. So it's just a constant. It's an explicit constant, which if you're given a function v naught, you just compute. So this is what was qt before. So now comes my theorem. So it says the following. So let this v naught be a function on the two torus to R, which is C2. That's two continuous derivatives. And it has a unique non-degenerate minimum. And let us assume that the minimum is zero. It doesn't matter. Otherwise, you just throw it into the energy. So it's a generic condition. And let us take and fix omega not just a positive number. So this is the interval of omegas we will work with. Then, for every lambda sufficiently large, I have to take like, I forgot the lambda. I have to put the lambda. So you should take the potential really big. Then there exists a set omega in this interval, minus omega naught to omega naught. And the measure of this set, the Lebesgue measure of this set, tends to the full measure of this interval. So it's a set omega which lies in this, whose Lebesgue measure tends to the measure of this interval as lambda tends to infinity, such that for every omega you take in this set. So now we fix the omega, now we fix the frequency. You cannot take it arbitrarily, but you take it from this big set. Then there exists a set E, which lies in the interval 1.1 lambda, 1.2 lambda, sorry for the numbers, but it's a precise statement then. And the measure of this set is equal to 0.1 lambda, so it's almost the full measure, minus something of little o lambda. Such that for every E, so now if we fix the omega and we have E's which we can play with, and if we take them from here, we have the following. That the Lyapunov exponent, well, I can even say better, it's not only positive, but it's of psi square root of lambda, which is what you should guess because you have a lambda here. So that means that you have a positive Lyapunov exponent. And the second result is that there exists a theta in T2. Now you take a phase theta. You can find one of these. And you can find a U in L2R, which is actually exponentially decaying at plus minus infinity. So it's a function which looks more or less like this. Such that... Yeah, at plus minus infinity. Yeah, so this is kind of a strange. So this is, in the oscillator theorem, it says that either it grows in one direction and decays in, but it's almost for almost oscillator. So here I found an exceptional one for which it decays in both directions. So this is an eigenfunction for this Schrödinger, which could not appear in the periodic case. So it's a solution. And this has something to do physically. They call this for Anderson localization, because if you have a periodic solution, that means that you have a transportation in your media. But the exponentially decaying means that your particle is trapped. So that means that this disturbance with this quasi-periodic, it means that our media is not a conductor anymore. So what does this mean? Since this holds for any E, this of course means that this whole set E lies in the spectrum of the Schrödinger operator. So we know that it's a big... The measure of the Schrödinger operator, which lies in this interval, is big. And the third thing is that this minimal set which exists, it is the whole space. So that means that any point you take a theta, and you take an initial condition, and then you look at this projective flow, then it will be dense in this whole space. Although you have these two invariant curves. So these, you have two invariant curves which are measurable, and if you take the topological closure, you get everything. So this shows that these minimal set can be really strange. But you see this, the geometrical picture of this number two, is that actually the spectrum will begin more or less at lambda. That's one thing you can compute. And that's why I took this constant, so that it does not start to move, because otherwise it starts to move with omega. But I prove that in this region, 1.1 lambda to 1.2 lambda, you have this set E, and the measure of this is really big, like this. And for each of these E, you can find a set, so this is an eigenfunction. So this shows that there's in the bottom of the spectrum of the Schrödinger operator, you have a totally different dynamics than in the periodic case. If we take a very, very high energies, then there is a theorem, at least if V is, at least if V is analytic, then you have more quasi-periodic oscillating solutions. So there is a really big difference between solution in the bottom of the spectrum and in the upper part of the spectrum. I think it depends very much on Q. Because here you should, what one expects is that the spectrum here is actually a Cantor set. But it's not proved. But it's a Cantor set of large measure, that at least we know. So this irrational, that means that this